This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
These are my disclosures. I think the first thing we need to do is to define the pathology. So an intramural hematoma is really the formation of thrombus in the aortic wall with an absence of a visible intimal tear or blood flow between the layers. It can occur anywhere in the aorta, and it's labeled type A and type B, just the same way as dissections. It usually presents with sudden onset of chest pain, upper back, or abdominal pain. It mimics aortic dissection in its clinical presentation. Hypertension is almost universal, and it's refractory in about 30% of patients. About 5 to 10% of patients can present with spinal cord ischemia as the initial presentation. And it actually may be an incidental finding when a CT is done for some other pathology. Now, the initial management is very similar to aortic dissection. It is conservative, and it implies control of the blood pressure, usually with beta blockers initially, and pain control. This is conservative management, except if the maximum aortic diameter is greater than 4 centimeters, in which case rupture can occur. If there's a pleural effusion at presentation, which implies some degree of seepage, it can be just serous fluid from a very, very thin outer layer. And in patients with intractable pain and refractory hypertension, and again, you can see how difficult it is to define intractable and refractory, but it can be a patient where you're trying to control the hypertension and you can't do it, or patients that require increasing doses of opioids for control of pain. Now, it is recommended that you do, on conservative management, that you do serial CT scans on the first day, at day 4 and at day 10, and that allows you to determine if patients that you initially try to do conservative management are failing the conservative management. So just a couple of things to look for on the follow-up CT scans. You have ulcer-like projections, of which you can see here. And basically, this looks like a penetrating ulcer. However, the difference is usually in penetrating ulcers, you have plaque accompanying the finding, whereas in these, you have no plaque, and it's part of the intramural hematoma. You can also see what's called an intramural blood pool, which are areas of focal contrast enhancement within the intramural hematoma without lumen communication. And you can see an example of this here. You can see a couple of blood pools right here. And these are things that you would look on the CT scan on follow-up. And if one of these develop, it would be an indication for intervention. So the question is intramural hematoma different than an aortic dissection? This is actually a patient that we saw at UCLA as a patient of Dr. Rickberg, who presented with this intimal tear and almost thrombosed what we call false lumen. 6 weeks later, it was all healed up, and all you saw was the intramural hematoma. So the question is, if you see this patient at this time, would you call it an intramural hematoma or an aortic dissection? I would submit to you that this is probably a continuum of disease. It is a similar pathology in the aortic wall. It's just a different type of presentation. Here's a patient of mine that I saw in 2014 that presented with what appears to be an intramural hematoma, has some blood pooling, and what appears to be dissection in the lower abdomen. She was actually asymptomatic at the time of presentation, so we decided to treat this patient conservatively. Here she is in 2015. The thoracic aorta is all healed up. She has some blood pools in the lower abdomen, and the dissection appears to have been converted into some blood pools with the intramural hematoma. Again, the patient remaining asymptomatic. Here's the same patient in 2016, and now she has what appears to be just an area of small intramural hematoma, but the aorta is completely healed. And here she is just last month, a couple of months ago, where the aorta is completely normal. What was interesting in this patient is on this CT scan, I actually looked at the CT and was very happy and told her about that the aorta was completely healed. And it turns out that on the same CT scan, there were some pulmonary emboli that were detected, and she was asymptomatic from that process also. Turns out she has a hypercoagulable condition. If we look at the IRAD registry, they reported on 107 patients with intramural hematoma, and the conclusion was that most of these patients can be treated medically, and aortic enlargement is less common, and the process has a much less complications compared to aortic dissection, defining what they call a more benign course. So what are the indications for endovascular intervention? Increase intramural thickness on follow-up CT, extension of the intramural hematoma, new ulcer-like projections, new aortic wall pull, intractable pain, and refractory hypertension. Those are clinical indications that intervention may be indicated. Now, when you look at the natural history and which patients end up with intervention, about 75% of the patients require a continued conservative follow-up, whereas 25% of the patients end up undergoing TVAR without any further imaging at initial presentation. So what are the considerations when you're using an endovascular graft for intramural hematoma? You do not want to exceed more than 10% oversizing. Covering all affected aorta is the ideal intervention. If it's not possible, be aware that you can cause a new tear and the extension of the intramural hematoma. I actually had a patient several years ago that had an intramural hematoma starting about 10 centimeters from the, it was about 15 centimeters from the left subclavian artery. I just placed a graft just above that, and 3 weeks later she presented with retrograde intramural hematoma into the aortic arch. So it does happen. So you want to make sure that the proximal landing zone is on a healthy, normal appearing aorta. You want to avoid ballooning, and retrograde dissection is clearly a risk, and I would avoid bare metal proximal stent configurations. So in conclusion, I think intramural hematoma may be a continuum of medial aortic pathology that involves dissection. Conservative management is the first line of therapy with control of hypertension. TVAR is indicated for specific both acute and subacute indications. About 25% of patients will require intervention on initial presentation, and the rest of them can be managed medically. I think close follow-up is indicated in all cases. The intervention of choice is an endovascular intervention, and today the need for an open repair is very rare. I see that Dr. Starnes just got up to ask some questions, so I'm starting to get a little nervous here. And I thank you for your attention.
William, congratulations on a very nice presentation, a thorough review of the literature. You provided that one anecdote at the end about the risk of retrograde propagation and development of an intramural hematoma. I've actually had the exact opposite. I'm not diminishing the risk of retrograde dissection, but I had a 55-year-old guy that came in who had a small entry tear that we could identify distal to the left subclavian, like you said, but had intramural hematoma that extended all the way across the arch and all the way down to the aortic valve, and it was 8 millimeters in thickness circumferentially. Our cardiac surgeons weren't interested in doing anything for this gentleman, so we actually put in a stent graft and just covered that entry tear, and in about 2 weeks, the intramural hematoma that was around the ascending was completely gone. So I'm wondering if you have had a similar experience to that or if anyone else has, because it's an interesting phenomenon.
No. The question is whether it wouldn't have behaved similarly without the TVAR, because like I showed in that first case, and even in the patient with the follow-up, I mean, these things, it's interesting how they can behave over the course of time. I mean, this patient that I saw in 2014 and just saw a couple of months ago, is a prime example of if the patient is asymptomatic and the blood pressure is adequately controlled, there's healing that occurs in the aorta. So, it's hard to tell. I would be very leery of putting an endovascular graft in an area where there is intramural hematoma, because I think the intima and whatever media is left attached to the intima is very fragile, and I think you can create a tear. So it's that's a difficult case to sort of know exactly what's the best thing to do.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.